between Alaska and the church. There's no room to build up there. And the property is so expensive. They have 3 morning services. So I preach back to back to back. One teenager sitting on this side sat through all 3. And he said, I want to see if you preach the same thing. I didn't. I preached 3 sermons. But there will be different messages, and all of them will be a blessing to you. This morning, I want you to turn to 2 portions, Psalm 149 and Isaiah 61. Psalm 149 and Isaiah chapter 61. This morning, we're going to step into God's beauty parlor. God's beauty parlor. My wife accused me of getting a text or a title and trying to find a sermon to fit it. God's beauty parlor. I'm going to start with Psalm 61. Isaiah 61. Read this one first. Isaiah 61. This is the verses that Jesus quoted when he began his ministry here upon the earth. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and comfort all that mourn. Now notice verse 3. To appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Salvation never brings anything bad. He can take the ashes of your life and give you beauty. He can take all sins that's holding you down, taking you to hell, and give you beauty for ashes. But here in our text in Psalm 149, the next to the last of the book of Psalms, we find these words. Praise ye the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. God's our maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. That's not a sinful dance. That's leaping for joy. Let them sing praises unto him with a trembling heart. For the Lord hath taken pleasure in his people. Now notice this. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, the word of God. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. He will beautify the meek with salvation. A very silly question. How many of you ladies have ever been to beauty parlor? And you got a permanent, right? Is that misnamed? If it's a permanent, do you have to go back? In the Lockhorns cartoon, he's standing out there and his wife comes out of the beauty parlor and looks at her and says, we could sue him for malpractice. And he looked at her again and says, didn't work, did it? The purpose, I guess, of a beauty parlor is to fix you up and make you look nice. The purpose of God's beauty parlor is, I'm making an application here, is to beautify the meek with salvation. It's to fix you up spiritually. It's to beautify the soul. Give you the beauty for ashes. Our psalm writer said, he'll beautify the meek with salvation. We're going to have a word of prayer. Notice the opposite of proud is the meek. The ones that are submissive, willing to submit to what the Bible says. Submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. We're thankful we have a Bible. Every word of it is true from cover to cover. You know, whatever the book says is so. We can believe it. We can trust it. We can put our reliance upon what it teaches. Thankful to this church. Thankful opportunity to meet here inside these 4 walls this morning and hear the Word of God. I pray for every man, woman, young person, boy and girl in this building. Those that's never yet been saved, may this be the most important day of their life when they come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, and let God beautify the meek with salvation. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let's look forward to the need. Let's just look at the need of salvation. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7 says, we were created, the purpose of you being here in New York, the purpose of you being alive is to bring glory to God. You're not here to have fun. You're not here to dream and drift through life. You're not here to do your own thing. We're here upon this earth to bring glory to God. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin defiles all that it touches. Sin's a defiler. What is sin? The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. God says don't do it, we do it, we sin. God says do it and we don't do it. It's sin. It's a willful disobedience to something that our Heavenly Father, the God that made you, tells you to do or not to do. Sin. And sin defiles. Sin has entered every nook and corner of this entire world. Sin has entered from the White House to the poorhouse. Sin affects those that eat at Longhorn Steakhouse to those that eat the dollar menu at McDonald's. Sin affects all people, every man, every woman, every boy, girl. We're going straight from the womb, the Bible says, speaking lies. Sin. Where'd it come from? See Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in perfect innocence. I don't know how long they were there before sin entered in. Days, weeks, months, years, I don't know. We'll find out maybe someday in heaven. But in the Garden of Sin, there in the Garden of Eden, they're not defiled with sin. They're not depraved. They're not degenerated. They're not dead in sins. They're not disobedient. They're not doomed to eternity in hell. Ephesians chapter 2, we read these words. And you had to quicken who were dead in trespasses and sins. That wasn't Adam at first to be sin. When time passed, you walked according to the course of this world. That wasn't Adam and Eve at that time. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now working children of disobedience. Among all so had our conversation times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilled desires of the flesh, the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That wasn't them in the Garden of Eden there. You see, there was no impure thoughts in the Garden of Eden. There were no curse words. They were not taking God's name in vain. They weren't drinking beer. They weren't taking dope. There was no sin there. Perfect innocence. See them there. There were no bars there. Bar to heaven, door to hell, whoever named it well. There wasn't one in the Garden of Eden. Now, someone made a joke once that Adam came in late one night and his wife said, "Now, Eve said, now, Adam, where you been?" He said, "Now, Eve, you're the only woman in the world for me." She said, "Let me count your ribs. Check this out." But there weren't bad thoughts there in the Garden of Eden. Adam could walk up to a lion and pet him. I mean, he could lay down with rattlesnakes. No problem. They could pick a rose with no thorns on it. See him there in the Garden of Eden. Perfect environment. But then see the devil as he enters into sin. See him as they listen to the devil when he said, "Yea, hath God said?" The question mark, first question mark in the Bible. Listen, any time you start questioning this book, you're following the devil. You're listening to him. See him as sin entered in. You begin to take hold of them. Now they're, instead of going out and meeting God with open arms, they're hiding from God. See him as they're blaming others. See him as their one son kills the other one. See him after sin entered in. See him now, the ground is cursed and starts bringing forth thorns and thistles. See him now as the dog starts chasing the cat. The wolverine starts pulling down the deer. Flowers start dying. Trees start rotting. Romans 8:22 says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Sin in the Garden of Eden. But sin's affected us today. It didn't just start in the Garden of Eden. It's come right up to this part of New York. It's come right up to your home. It's come right up to you. You ride every funeral parlor, mortuary, house of the dead in the world, cries out, "Sin brought this about." You ride every graveyard in the world, I was in Monterrey, Mexico, the world's largest graveyard. They dig deep graves and put 20 people in one grave. But every graveyard cries out, sin! Wages must be paid. Every hospital. I just came from one of the largest hospitals in Pennsylvania. It's kind of set on a hill, but it's the largest building anywhere around that area. I mean, driving down the road, you can see it probably a mile away. In Geisner, in Danville, Pennsylvania. That hospital cries out, this is the result of sin. This is the result of sin. Every jailhouse, every policeman you see up on the corner or in that blue light pulling up behind you as you drive down the road, every police car cries out, the wages of sin. The wages of sin. The lock on your house and on your car. The rising crime rate. It's a sin. Sin. I've never known a time in my lifetime there hadn't been a time there was wars or rumors of wars. Everyone cries out, there's a wage for sin. Sin did it. Sin did it. And by the way, sin is no respecter of persons. Sin entered the palace of King David and the army and got Achan. Sin got wicked Jezebel and righteous Lot. Sin got Judas. And also the water-walking Peter. Sin ruins all it touches. And there's no man that sinneth not for all of sin. Look what sin did to Adam. Cast him out of the Garden of Eden. He lost paradise because of sin. Look at Lot. He hoped to gain by going to Sodom. He lost all he had. He's not Lot the winner. He's Lot the loser. King David shook the crown from his head. Adultery and murder. Caused the preacher to come in and say, thou art the man. He had his own son trying to kill him. Ahab and Jezebel. I got to think about these two not long ago. They were once just little children, like your kids, or like your grandkids. In innocence. Today there's nothing, not a family here that named your daughter Jezebel. Why? Because of the wickedness of the woman. When she grew up in innocence, but somewhere along the line, sin ruined her. And she ended up being eaten by the dogs. Why? Because of sin. Her husband Ahab, one of the most wicked kings that ever lived, was once an innocent kid, once an innocent teen, and made his choice to reject what God said. Ended up having the dogs lick his blood. Herod, eating the worms because of sin. Tradition says Pilate went insane, still trying to get the blood from his hand. What did that to him? Sin. Sin throughout history has corrupted all it's touched. Sin's corrupted you. Sin's caused you to be, will cause you to be cast out of heaven. It ruins your character, your conduct, your creed, your conscience. Look what sin produces. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Book of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall I fall among them that fall at the time when I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. How long since you see somebody blush over sin? A preacher mentioned, I've been preaching now 55 years. Usually I start here my next year of preaching. I've already begun here in January preaching my 55th year of preaching. I remember back when I was just a teenager. If somebody heard a curse word, their face turned red. They blushed. They blushed. Not anymore. It's prevalent on TV, radio, music. I came out of a Walmart in Huntington, Pennsylvania about 3 or 4 days ago. There was a grandmother. She looked to be in her 80s. And she was turning the air blue with curse words. I could not believe. Here's an older person on the doorstep of death blaspheming God. Where'd it come from? Sin. Sin. Produces lying, cheating, stealing, murder, hatred, adultery, fornication, malice, gossip. In the book of Job says, can that which is clean bring forth unclean, that bring forth that which is clean? Not one. Not one. Produced after our kind. sinners, sinners, sinners. Everybody in this building this morning is either a saved sinner or a lost sinner. Of all have sinned, all have sinned. A preacher in Pennsylvania went through the New Testament. He said this, there's 21 lists of sins in the New Testament. On those 21 lists, there's 103 different sins listed. At the close of the service, he's back to the door. Now, I'm not sure what she meant. This lady came up to him, shook his hand, and said, Pastor, could you give me that list? I may have missed some. I'm not sure what she meant. But I got his list. In Matthew 15, there are seven sins listed which come from the natural heart and defile you. In Mark 7, there are 13 sins listed which come from the heart and keep you out of heaven. In Romans 1, there are 26 sins listed which bring God's judgment upon the individual. In Romans 13, there are seven sins listed which a Christian must not do. They're called works of darkness. In 1 Corinthians 5, there's six sins listed which Christians must not be associated with. Don't keep company with these sins. 1 Corinthians 6, there's 10 sins which bar from the kingdom of heaven. It's putting up a barrier to keep you out of heaven. It's not worth it, folks. 2 Corinthians 12, there are 11 sins listed which Christians must turn away from. Ephesians 4, there are 9 sins listed which unsaved live in, which the Christian must not walk in. Galatians 5, 17 sins listed which bar again from the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians 4, 9 sins listed which Christians must put away. Put away the old man. Don't touch him again. In Ephesians 5, there are 6 sins listed which must not be named as existing among Christians. Ephesians 5, again, 4 sins which bar from the kingdom of heaven and bring God's wrath. Bring God's judgment while you walk here upon the face of this earth. Colossians 3, 6 sins which Christians must mortify. Put them to death. Get them out of your life. Colossians 3, 6 sins which Christians must put off, like putting off a garment. 1 Timothy 1, 14 sins for which the law was given and the law exposes in our lives. 2 Timothy 3, 19 sins which Christians must put away. Titus 3, 9 sins which Christians are saved from. 1 Peter 2, 5 which Christians must lay aside. 1 Peter 4, 7 sins which of the flesh which Christians used to do, but no more. And Revelation 21, 8 sins which condemn to the lake of fire. In Revelation 22, 6 sins which bar from the tree of life and the holy city. Listen, there's no sin that's ever listed as good. It doesn't matter whether it's the dope dealer on the street corner, the drunkard on the road, or the person sitting in their home rejecting Jesus Christ. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Sin has no good results. But hey, our text has good news. God said, I will beautify the meek with salvation. God does not want you to sin. God does not want a person in this building to end up going to that place called hell. God does not want you to burn in a lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever. God does not want the smoke of your torment to ascend up forever and ever where you have no rest day or night. God doesn't want that for you. What's the meek? It's the opposite of proud, haughty, arrogant. The first step is you must be willing to admit that you're a sinner. That's the very first step. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13 says, only acknowledge thy iniquity that you sinned against the Lord. That's not an easy thing to do. We've all got a pride within us. It's not easy to say, well, preacher, I'm a sinner. I'll never forget, in a citywide revival, I wasn't preaching, I was helping do personal work, in Mobile, Alabama, in a football stadium, they put sawdust down. They had benches up front. They put a platform up there. And preachers up preaching on it. And hundreds of people came forward and got saved. This one society lady came forward. Now, I'll be honest. Preaching was kind of crude. She came forward and said, lady, you want to be saved? She said, yes. He said, get on your knees there and tell God you're a no good sinner. And he started talking to her. She's just standing there. I'll never forget this. I'm over here somewhere. I heard it all. He said, just get out and tell God you're no good sinner. She said, well, have you know I'm a good sinner. Folks, there's no such animal as a good sinner. We've all sinned. And all sin is bad. All sin is wicked. There's no such thing as little sins and big sins. Little white lies, big black lies, middle-sized lies. A terrible drunkard. Society person that wouldn't think of taking God's name in vain, but lost without Christ. going to the same hell. If you don't get saved, you'll go to the same hell with them lot. If you don't get saved, he don't get saved. You see, all sin is bad, but God said, I'll beautify the meek with salvation. If you're willing to come to God and acknowledge, God, I'm a sinner, I need salvation, I'm lost, he said, I've got something for you. You take that old dope life and give it to God. He said, I'll give you beautiful ashes. One of the finest Christian men before he died, I ever met in my life, saw him, Pete Shoemaker, in Mountain Union, Pennsylvania. If you'd have seen him before he got saved, you'd have said, there's no hope for him. He's the town drunk. I mean, every day, his truck's over at the County Line Inn. Early in the morning, he's over, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, he's over knocking on the door where they play bootleg liquor. I never saw the man sober. In fact, if he breathed on you, you can intoxicate just breathing. It was known as breath. I mean, it's that bad. The boy, when he got saved, what a difference. God gave him beauty for ashes. And he can do the same for you. I don't care what your sin is. I don't want to know. God knows and you know. But he says, I've got some beauty for you. I've got some salvation for you. I've got a heaven for you. Not a place called hell. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. God, if you'll enter God's beauty parlor, so to speak, I'm not talking about an actual building, but if you'll come to God, he said, I have something for you. In Genesis, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, book of Isaiah chapter 64, and verse 6, find these words. He said, but we're all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness is filthy rags. We do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. But that doesn't have to happen to you. You can come to God. You say, I'll beautify the meek with salvation. In the book of Romans, chapter 1. In the book of Romans, the first chapter. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, in place unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. But listen, that's not the life God wants for you. No. I preached in Belleville, Pennsylvania. This fellow got so mad at me. Yeah, I mean, he spit nails out. Boy, he was mad. I just read these portions. He said, you said a homosexual can't go to heaven. I said, I did not. I said, God said such were some of you, but now you're washed. Now you're clean. God can save a homosexual. Same thing you save the Sunday school kid in the from the best church in town. He'll come to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, such were some of you, but now you're washed. Been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, become clean. In Romans chapter 3, I read the verse about all of sin, but let's back up a little bit. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for before proven, both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. As written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. That together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. But wait a minute, let's go over a chapter. Verse 3 of chapter 4, for what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If you're willing to admit you're a sinner, God will do something for you. God will save you. The Bible says he'll beautify the meek with salvation. In the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, there's a woman that simply touched the hem of his garment. I like this story. It says a certain woman. She had been to doctors for all these years. Nobody could do anything for her. It's kind of interesting. Dr. Luke records the fact that the physicians couldn't help her. The doctors couldn't help her. But just simply the touch of Jesus, and she was made perfectly whole. And no longer did he say a certain woman, he says, daughter. Became a child of God. See, Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 says this, salvation is of the Lord. It's not the church. The church can tell you how they ought to. If they can't, you ought to not be in that kind of church. Everyone tells you how. The salvation is of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. I'll read you a couple verses here in Hebrews. Chapter 5 and verse 9. Find these words. And being made perfect, he, that's Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. So notice here, Jesus Christ is the author of salvation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, not yourself, not your sins, not some man, not some pope, not some preacher, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When do you finish it? This is important. If Jesus Christ hung up on Calvary's cross, every sin, every wrong thought that's gone through your mind was put on him. Every bad word that's come out of your tongue was put on him. Every can of beer or bottle of whiskey you drank was put on him. Every curse word put on him. And he cried out, it is finished! It was paid for. Do you realize, I may have told you, I brought this out to you last year, every time Jesus Christ prayed, he called God Father, except one time. And that time between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock, when your sin and my sin was put upon Jesus Christ, he did not call God Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our sin was so terrible. So rotten. But then just as soon as he cried out, it is finished. What's the next words out of his mouth? Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. Your sin was put on his author and the finisher. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. Titus 2:11, the grace of God that brings salvation. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. God does that for us when we come to him. He beautifies the meek for salvation. Acts 28:28 says, salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. You look at yourself, defiled with sin. What can you do about it? Nothing. You get baptized, but water can't wash away your sins. You join the church, the church can't forgive your sins. You confess some man can't forgive your sins. But if you'll step into God's beautiful heart, if you'll come to Jesus Christ, he said, I'll wash them away. And they'll be gone forever. They'll be gone forever. And then you can say, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Let me ask you a question. Has he ever beautified you with salvation? Let me ask you a question like this. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Are you positive of that? Now, you can take chance on some things. You can't take chance of your soul, folks. You better make sure there's been a time in your life. You don't have to know the exact day and hour. It's good if you do, but you better make sure you've done it, that you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, and he'll beautify your salvation. And then, Christian, after you're saved, what's it say up here? We need to still be meek. Walk humbly with our God. Realizing who he is, what he's done for us, and what he's forgiven us of. And daily walk humbly with our God. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, please. Would you be honest with this old preacher this morning? And honest with yourself and honest with God. No one's looking around, but I want to ask a couple questions. First of all, how many here in this building say, preacher, I have already asked Jesus Christ to save me. I know I'm saved. Let's see your hands. Now tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Don't lie. All right, put hands down. I'm in here this morning say, preacher, I really don't know I'm saved, but I'd like to know it. I'd like to know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Let's see your hand. Lift up real high. Let me see it. Preacher, I don't know I'm saved, and I'd like to know it. Anywhere in the building, let me see your hand real quick. Hold it up. I see it. Then take it back down. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not embarrassed you, but I'll pray for you. Anywhere in the building. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. In the balcony, downstairs. Preacher, pray for me. All right, let me ask this question. I really haven't touched a lot on this morning. I wonder how many Christians here say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with God. I've been playing around with some of those sins. But he's already forgiven me. I'm just kind of going back to them. I need God to help me to overcome them. I need God to help give me victory over things that are in my life that are keeping me from being the Christian I ought to be. Pray for me as a Christian. Can I see your hand? Yes, many hands. God bless you. God bless you. And take hands down. Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning. I didn't see any hands for anybody that's lost. Lord, if there is one soul here that's not saved, may this be the most important day of their life. Help them to be willing to admit. We know as long as they're not willing to admit they're a sinner, they'll never be saved. They'll end up someday in hell screaming and crying because they're not willing to admit to God they're a sinner. Help them to do it even today. Now I pray for many of your people that raise a hand. We know the devil tempts over and over and over. He never gets tired of tempting. God, help us never get tired of confessing and getting things squared away with you. If some need to come forward and lift this old altar and pray this morning, help them to take a big gulp, swallow a little pride, and come and get on their knees before you and ask your forgiveness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. What number, preacher? 1